Well, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Dina's radio chat. I'm so excited about today being Wednesday. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I am joyful in it. I celebrate you today because you are loved and highly favored. Yes, and I always look forward to Wednesday to spend this hour with you. All right. So I thank you so much for helping me. Dr. Gina's radio chat, one of the number one internet talk shows in the world, you guys. You guys are so amazing to help with this move that is happening. And I can't thank you enough. And again, tune in, tell a friend, tell all of your friends and relatives. I know some of us are still locked in. I don't want to say locked in, quarantine in an incubator during the pandemic. Some of us may not be able to have access other than through the internet, and that's okay. Go ahead and let them know that we are on live right now, and you never know who's going to be joining us live right here on Dr. Gina's radio chat. Today we have Daniel Colindo, and we have Shannon Crawford is joining us, and Dr. Shannon Crawford is joining us, and also Elizabeth Brooks is doing her 5-minute fitness, and also Gina G is bringing a Trinity, and what she say? Yes, this is going down today, so I want you guys to go ahead and tell a friend. Listen, you can go ahead and download Alexa. If you have Alexa, say Gina's radio chat. Hey Alexa, Gina's radio. No, that's yeah. Hey Alexa. No, hey Google. Gina's radio chat. That's right. Google Gina's radio chat and it'll bring you right into the show. Or you can go Alexa, BBS Radio Station number one, and it'll bring you right into the show. Or you can download BBS Radio's app, BBS Radio app, and you can go on and listen to us all the time, anytime, every day, all day. All right. Okay. So listen, today's weather report today. I'm trying to get my sound right. I hope that it's better. So I know Doug will let me know. In DC, it is 52 degrees and cloudy right now. Our high is going to be 56 degrees in DC. Let's see, in Jacksonville, where you are open, 75 degrees is your high. Cloudy today. Your high today is going to be 84 degrees. You got sunshine coming your way. Los Angeles, you're preparing to open up today. You're sunny and 70 degrees right now, but your high today is 90. Oh my God, I love you. 90 degrees is your high. Let's see. Columbia, South Carolina, you guys are opening up. You are 70 degrees right now. Sunny, your high is going to be 75 degrees. Miami, you are 82 degrees, mostly cloudy. Your high today is going to be 90. You got gorgeous weather too. So yeah, these are some of the places that are open now, you'll be going out and about. So be prepared for the weather. And yeah, so I want to go right into ministerial moment before Dr. Shannon Crawford comes and joins us. I want to go ahead and take the sponsorship break for a second, and then we'll come right back to ministerial moment. We'll be right back after this sponsorship. The Keys Against the Enemy is a 90-day spiritual devotional boot camp. The keys is authority. In Matthew 16, 19, Jesus tells Peter that he's given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever he loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the keys actually is power and authority, the heavens that God has given us, that we could do the same thing. The keys against the enemy is literally the maturity through the years that God has really developed me into a prayer warrior. I want you to feel empowered. I just want you to know that you are a warrior, that you are an overcomer, a victor. I want you to know that you have all authority against the enemy and all of his wiles and all of his tactics. You can go on thekeysagainsttheenemy.com. So many things is going on with the Keys Against the Enemy. Go purchase your book and find out whatever's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy. All right, so ministerial moment. Okay, I'm trying to relax because I was watching the news and it was something disturbing that I saw. And I'm not getting political. I want to talk about humanity for a second. I don't want to talk about politics ever. I want to keep this about humanity because I'm a kingdom walking, believing soul. And I am in love with God. And I love Jesus. And I love the movement and the personality of the Holy Spirit. I want to be so much more like Christ each and every day. So these type of times kind of disturb me. And I know we've been going through this for years, slavery, since Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman. I mean, it just goes on and on. I think what's disturbing to me is entitlement. Entitlement. What does entitlement look like? Is it a color? Is it a personality? Is it a character? Entitlement. A man was shot down in Georgia because he didn't want to talk to somebody of a different race. And he was shot and killed because he looked like a possible suspect of robberies in a neighborhood. So an off-duty, not even employee of the county police department, he wasn't even on duty, wasn't even an officer anymore. And his son shot this man down. I'm taking politics out of it. I just want to deal with humanity. It's saddened to me because even now with this pandemic, we know that it has been stated that most African Americans are more subjected to this virus. In some of the low-income areas, there are less testing, there are less healthcare provision, et cetera, insurance, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can go and look and investigate it on our own. But during this pandemic, what hurts me the most in my spirit is entitlement for anyone. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what education you have. I don't care how much money you have. Humanity is all colors. It's humanity is messing around with God's creation. It is overstepping the boundaries of taking someone's life because you have a thought or opinion or a feeling of some sort of emotion. It is disrespectful to me in the kingdom of God. And I really want a lot of the believers and just kingdom walkers to just intercede on this. This has been going on for a while. We understand that there is division. Heck, there's division in the body of Christ. There's division in beliefs and entitlement and rights and things like that in the body of Christ, from women not being able to preach or shouldn't be able to preach, to how you dress. Should you wear lipstick or should you not? Is it Baptist, Pentecostal, evangelical? Is it Catholic? Is it, Judaism? What is it? I mean, there's division of every kind in every situation. However, and we can go, Democrat, Republican, we can go, different races. It's division in every kind. But however it may be, humanity is God's own. He created each and every one of us. He created the blacksmith, to sharpen the swords. He's the creator of all human beings. And I just really just, it grieves my spirit to that degree that we could just be so loosened and not care about lives. I want everybody's life to matter. I want everybody's humanity to count. I want everybody's, if you don't want to talk to somebody, or if you want to believe in such and such, and if you have a right to have a different opinion, you have a right, to wear what you want. I just want to, in this season of time, I didn't know what I was going to do with ministerial moment. And, I want to encourage people to not be discouraged. I want to encourage you that, you are somebody, that you are worthy. Entitlement to do whatever and have whatever, maybe not, but you are worthy. You are worth, being heard. You are worth your voice being heard. You are worth, getting the education that you deserve or want or desire to pursue. You are worthy to go for the job opportunity. You are worthy to express your creativity. You are worthy to love who you want to love and do what you want to do. You are worthy of having that. If I wanted to marry a black, a white man, an Asian man, a German man, a Russian man, any color rainbow man, I can marry whoever I want. I mean, that is just the right, my thing is, yes, I do believe in the biblical structure. I do. And I stand for that, but I'm not going all over the world, and I don't want to debate, what does this mean, homosexuality and this and that. I just want to stick to the basics of the fact that your life matters, and that whatever, If you were homosexual, you don't deserve to die to be homosexual. Let's put it that way. If you committed a crime, you deserve to die because you smoked weed or because you sold a key of coke or because, I don't know. But all I know is that you have a right to be heard. You have a right to have, to live. You have a right to go for, pursue. You have a right to do that. So I want to encourage you today that if you are going through a struggle mentally, emotionally, and all of that through this pandemic, you're watching the news, you're hearing about stuff, people are protesting this and standing up for that and doing this. Listen, I don't agree with a lot of stuff that's going on. I don't agree with people's lives being threatened because they're not doing what you want them to do. I don't agree with that. You cannot make somebody talk to you. You cannot make a governor do something that they don't want to do. I think the guns and the shooting and the rights and all of this, I am just not with that at all. So I want to encourage every person to pursue. I'm talking about get your education. Get your credit in order. Get your finances right. Get the medical insurance. I don't care if you got to go through the state system. Get you some medical insurance. I don't care. Get your heart right. Get with God. Get led by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Level up. Level up. Because it's dangerous out here. Let your life be worth something at the end of the day. Because if somebody feels that it's time for you to go and they take your life, let your legacy be known that you didn't waste any time at all. Because in this day and time, people do not value humanity. And that's the sadness about it, of it all. So I'm encouraging every being, don't sit here in this pandemic wasting any time. Don't prove anyone right. That you're just gathering a check or that you're just sitting there waiting to be taken care of. Prove it wrong. Go for yours. Live your life. Do what you're supposed to do. Live your dreams. Pursue, pursue, pursue. And live your life to the fullest. Because between humans and this pandemic and everything else, you don't know when your time is up. I know God is in control of everything. I know he is fully in control. He is the creator of all things. Surrender yourself to him and live in that peace and that joy and that faith that he promised you. And no matter how limited your days may be or how long your days are, live your life to the fullest. And that's my ministerial moment. We'll be right back after this commercial break with Dr. Shannon Crawford.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you and Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince.
One woman's story is everyone's struggle and Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I'm super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord and he ministered to me, he put that in my spirit, health and soul. And he said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what he wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey.
Can you say you're listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat?
Yes, tell me when.
Now.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Weston of Judah Band, and you're listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat.
All right, all right. And since we have time, go ahead and do it another time or two. Go.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Weston of Judah Band, and you're listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat.
Go for it.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Weston of Judah Band, and you are listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat.
All right. I was just looking at something from Randy earlier, Pastor Randy earlier today. He's the bomb. Love Judah Band. All right, Dr. Shannon Crawford, how are you? Welcome to Dr. Gina's radio chat.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
All right. So we met on the 3W Summit, the world's Women's Wholeness Summit, for the first time. It was a great experience. God was moving. And you are a psychologist, right?
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. A psychologist. And, you know, you're a speaker. And so you train and you teach and you do all kind of things. And you're an author and so many other things. And so I'm so glad that you were able to come, especially during this pandemic, during this coronavirus. I wanted to call it COVID-19, but coronavirus situation that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I briefly talked yesterday about emotions. And I wanted to know, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts about, you know, all of this? Because, you know, you're a clinical psychologist. So what is your thoughts about all of this and how people are dealing with their emotions?
Sure, absolutely. I think it's an opportunity to grow if we're able to see it that way, that most humans, we function by the illusion of control, that we think we're in control of our health and our finances, our life, our relationships, our schedule. And when situations come up, like the coronavirus, that it pops that illusion and we realize we're not actually omnipotent and in control of everything, that what can be shaken will be shaken, and it starts to reveal some of our triggers. And so a natural response to that is to try to imagine all the worst case scenarios to try to protect ourselves, to try to brace ourselves. And the problem is the news media is definitely feeding all of that fear. And so people are meditating and filling their mind with the worst case scenarios. And so that's flooding our systems with fear. And there's a negative feedback loop where fear thought releases neurochemical, and that causes the hormone of stress to then get pumped through the body. And then there's the feedback loop where the brain goes, it feels this bad, it must be that bad. And so then it keeps releasing more cortisol stress hormone. And so this negative feedback loop is reinforcing fear. And then people make fear-based decisions that are reckless and not wise. But the opposite is possible, where we could use our imagination to focus on hope, on reassuring, on positive media like what you're doing, focusing on the alternatives that could be good. Even visualizing being hugged or your hand being held releases oxytocin, which is the hormone that inhibits cortisol, the stress hormone. So any of these practical things we do shift our internal world, and you can start creating a positive feedback loop.
Right. Okay. So, well, that's good advice. I do accept that. What about with children? I know we talked briefly about children yesterday. You wanted to express some, you know, concern or some wisdom concerning the children, young people.
Sure, absolutely. I think that the more that they're around negativity and parents that are talking about whether it's politics or the end times or just everything that's fear-based, then that's causing children who are very impressionable, their brains are still being wired. And so if you get too much fear in the brain during development, that can inhibit brain development, and it releases too much. And so then there's areas where we're not appropriately creating the empathy, the reassurance, the playfulness. and instead wiring the brain toward reactivity, fear, overreaction, panic attacks, and overly protecting themselves. There's more likely to be aggression, fights, different characteristics coming out of children when that's not normally that child's personality, but they're flooded with a fight, flight, freeze response that's hijacking their brain, that they're not operating out of the smart front part of their brain. They're operating out of the survival mechanisms in the back of the brain.
So let me ask you something, Dr. Crawford. So I mean, the realization of the situation is that people are dying and people are catching it. Like, I have friends that have lost spouses and have lost friends and cousins and uncles, like a lot of them during this time. Mm-hmm. And personally, I know these people, and some people have gotten it and they've struggled with it and then they've overcome it and they, you know, they're well. They don't know who they gave it to. They don't know, you know, who has it or whatever. So if even if they're not looking at the news or, you know, the reports on the news that are, you know, what you're saying is negative, if the experience alone is traumatizing and spreading through the family, because now they done lost loved ones and their neighbors know and their friends know and their Facebook friends know. And because this actually happened, how do you deal with that? I mean, because that's the reality. So when you say survival mode, how do they deal positively with that truth and reality?
Sure. So the best way to do it, the research says it's not the extent of trauma that we go through. It's whether there's repair and closure at the end of the event. And so that's where they did research studies, and they compared people who actually lived through 9/11 versus those who watched it repetitively on the news, that whatever we see and there's no sense of closure, that the brain continues to stay in that hyper-alert fear survival state. And so for people who, whether they're watching it on the news or it's their personal family, loved ones that they care about, to be able to walk through a process of healing, of saying, this is what happened. It's also a 98% rate that people will survive. And so this doesn't have to be my narrative. And when there is more fear, there is more sickness, because there's a psychological, physiological component to sickness, that the more that we are in fear, the more our body is vulnerable. And I'm not making a perfect correlation there, but there is a susceptibility that cortisol does weaken the immune system. And so when we can sit our children down or our loved ones, and we can journal, and we can grieve, and we can process and cry together in community and relationship, not trying to just muscle through it and say, I'm tough, whatever, or just trying to be positive, but being able to grieve and mourn. And I think throughout history, civilizations that have allowed space and margin for healthy grief, very different than just staying in fear and hyper panic. That's like an illusion of, I'm going to protect myself by thinking of all the worst case scenarios to protect myself.
Right.
We live in a broken world. Bad things are going to happen. Even in red letters, Jesus said, in this life, you will have heartache. We're not Pollyanna pretending it's not going to happen, but we're also not meditating on the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So we're going to bend down and we're going to go slow and we're going to process those emotions in community. And I think that's the key, because again, oxytocin is released when we're in relationship with others. That can be visualizing God hugging you, or a loved one, a friend, actually having somebody there, versus isolation, which is our natural primitive response, is to run away from danger by ourselves versus leaning into healthy community.
I love it. Well, you know what? Because I can agree with that, because I actually have, you know, just keep my focus on God. I pray and study, and I focus on, I'm healthy. I work out and things like that, and teach my son that, to be productive and things like that. And that's what I mentioned earlier in the show. And I think that would also help you to have balance, you know, so if you do need to know what's going on in the world and your state, you know, because of the closures and who's reopening and what's, you know, the process and everything, because people have to stay connected. It will give you that balance to be able to say, okay, this is what I need to do, but this is where I'm, you know, this is where I'm at, but this is what I need to do. These are my instructions to get, you know, out here in the world and function, and I can still have that same covering. I can still, you know, walk by faith and believe that I'm healed and things like that. And use, you know, precaution as well, you know, mask and wash your hands, people, and all of that, too. Well, this is great. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you were able to join us. Gina G, did you have anything you want to ask Dr. Shannon Crawford? And thank you for joining us, Shannon. We appreciate you.
Yes. Well, she has some really, really good advice. And I wanted to ask her, you know, she was, hello. I'll speak to her in third person. She's here. I wanted to ask you, what advice would you have for children? I mean, I know the adults have put a lot on their plate, you know, because of working and, you know, teaching at home and stuff like that. But I heard you briefly speak about the kids, but teenagers, you know, I mean, they can't see their friends. You know, it's kind of different when they're maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years old versus, you know, they're on their way to high school or, you know, they just got to high school and then this happened. You know, what is some things or some exercises maybe that you know, teens could do to kind of keep calm in this situation?
Absolutely. I think that's a great question. So the more that we can equip our young people with emotional intelligence to recognize what they're feeling and to perceive inward going, oh, I think I'm anxious. I think I'm acting out because I'm actually feeling scared. If you can help people go from the hot emotion, which makes us feel safe, to kind of act out, to withdraw, to pout, to do something outward to try to defend myself. But when you can help them make that bridge of, oh, I'm doing that outward behavior because internally I feel alone, I miss my friends, I feel scared, I'm afraid of the unknown, of what's going to happen in the future. And so when you can help them slow down and make those connections, we're not automatically wired with those brain pathways. Those have to be developed. And the way that they're developed is through relationship. When someone else gently asks, hey, I'm wondering if this behavior might be attached to something else. And they go, no, of course not, blah, blah, blah. But you kind of persist with gentleness. Like, I'm also curious if it could be attached to maybe missing your friends or not seeing grandpa or whatever is going on with your graduation and there's some disappointment. And when you make that connection, whether they acknowledge it or not, their brain is now going, oh, I wonder if this vague, uncomfortable feeling now has a label and now a cognitive attribution of going, oh, that's when I feel scared. And once I know that I'm scared, now I can go to a relationship for reassurance. Versus just acting out or just going to my room or just watching Netflix for hours. But now I can do something productive. The hardest thing with young people is they don't have that connection automatically. Truthfully, adults don't either if nobody taught us to put those connections of emotion and cognition.
Love it. Well, thank you so much. I'm so informative. Always enjoy being around Dr. Shannon. Listen, tell everybody where they can follow you, what's going on next. Tell everybody where they can follow you on social media and keep contact with you.
Yeah, probably the easiest place is my website, drshannoncrawford.com. And Shannon is spelled differently because we're Gaelic. And they spell Shannon with an A for girls and O for boys. So it's drshannoncrawford.com. And on Instagram, it's Dr. Shannon Crawford. And Facebook, it's Dr. Shannon Crawford, the number one.
Yes, go and follow her. She's cute as a button and a powerhouse.
Thank you.
Smarts, full of smarts. All right. Thank you so much. Until next time. Love you, girl.
Thank you.
Love you. Talk to you later. Bye, ladies.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right. So, Gina, you know, we got the clinical psychology, but I don't know if you heard about what happened. You know, that was great. But I want to go back to the Georgia situation, girl, because I know you're getting ready to do your trending topics.
With them being open?
I don't know if you...
With them,
huh?
You talking about with them being open? Which Georgia situation?
No, the one with the boy got shot in February
on
the 23rd because he was jogging.
Aubrey, girl, don't let me talk about it because you know that was on my list. That was number one on the list, and I didn't care if anything else came after it because I am just disgusted.
Are you serious, Gina? You was gonna talk about it today because I'm so thankful because I tried to bite my tongue. I don't know if you heard me, but I was trying to be.
Yeah, you going around it. That's why I didn't really know which situation you were speaking of. But let me tell you something today, sister. I am angry. Okay, I am angry, and I'm not angry. And to me, it is a black and white thing. That's first on top of the list. But the second thing that I want to say, how dare you? Anybody to take the life of someone else. People are
because they don't
want
to talk to you. Because they don't want to talk to you. Because they don't want to talk to
you. You didn't want to ask this man, you know, hey, sir. You know, hey, how are you? If you felt in danger, you didn't want to say, hey, you know, what you doing over here? So that he could have said, sir, I live here. You know, they've seen that, man. Gina, when I tell you I'm angry.
I was crying this morning when I saw the video. Have you seen the video?
Girl, I have seen the video. And when I tell you, first of all, I'm upset because this happened February 23rd, and I knew nothing about it. So let's just be real.
Yeah, I didn't know nothing about it till today.
I didn't hear anything about this on no dog on February 23rd. So for one, I'm upset about that. And for two, the fact that you guys would cut him off, you know, would trap him. This man, if he broke in houses, you don't think he would have anything on to indicate that he's a robbery? This man's got on shorts and a T-shirt.
He was jogging, and the man wasn't even on duty. He don't even work for the police force anymore.
He's retired. 30 years retired. Girl, that man ain't got to check in with nobody. He ain't got to go in there and help with birthdays and plan staff meetings. No, he is not even, no. And what are you doing with a shotgun? You ain't even got no little 9mm or 35 or something that could stop a person by just shooting them in the leg. No. This goes to show you and the world that these police officers are trained to shoot and kill Black people, period.
Okay? I'm just appalled, Gina, at the
Gina,
you feel
you
like
something.
You are entitled. The entitlement of reopening, the entitlement of all of this, girl.
I'm so upset. These people, you know, in America, and I don't think this happens in all countries, okay?
No.
But in America, shame on you, because you are not born with hate in your heart. You are not born this way. This is a learned behavior. God makes no mistakes. So there's no way he told anyone to feel this way or to do these acts. There was white people in the park in New York, all out in the park. You hear me? I'm talking about hundreds. Police officers are out there handing out masks, Gina. Do you understand me? For them to social distance in this park. And then you go down the street, and it is a family celebrating a birthday, and they have come with guns. They have come with shields. They have come with, they were arrested.
Where was
and
this
beating
at?
Up children. These were teenagers, 18, 19, 20 years old. This just
Where?
Happened 2 weeks ago. This just happened 2 weeks ago in New York.
Wow.
Okay, it just happened 2 weeks ago in Chicago. They broke up a one-year-old's birthday party. So you're going to tell me you have the right as a police officer to come to my home on my street when I'm celebrating my one-year-old. Now, granted, Gina, granted, they had no business, okay, outside with all these folks when it's supposed to be, social distancing. But guess what?
And they
neither
did it, too,
did
with the Jewish
people
too. They
did
that
people.
The same thing. The mayor sent the police and all of that stuff because they were celebrating a funeral. So,
girl, Gina, America, let me tell you something. America, I have given up on you. Okay, I have broken up with America, Gina. Okay, me and America are no longer together. I am I'm living in America's house until I can find me a better spot. That's what this is right now. That's what's happening. I'm serious, Gina. I am afraid to have my 14-year-old son pull dogs down.
I know. That's what I was just telling my son.
He goes running now. So now I'm afraid that I can't allow my 14-year-old son to run in his own damn neighborhood, excuse my French, because I'm afraid that someone's going to find out and shoot him and kill him because they don't know what he's doing over here. Ain't nobody driving from no hood to no suburban area to jog, people. I'm pissed, Gina, and I really don't have a bright side to this situation as of yet. But God, because I know God is going to take care of it. I know God is going to take care of those people. And I know God is going to have that jury, because you know it's going to grand jury, right? Oh, you know, since the video has surfaced, this is the only reason why we know that this happened to this young man, because nobody knew February 23rd. Oh, now all of a sudden this video want to appear, and because that's God. This video is God. okay? And now these folks are about to go to a grand jury, and I pray to God, which it's not going to be, but I pray that it's a jury full of black folks. It ain't going to be that way because it ain't never been that way, but it could just be and I'm telling you, these folks right here would pay for every person, every state, Trayvon Martin, Gina, I just can't believe that you can't even jaw.
He got on a bright white. He looking just as clear and clean. Ain't trying to hide. Ain't trying to bother nobody.
No, baby.
Lord have mercy.
You know about the young man in California, in Vaughn, who had on his KKK hood as his mask. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
So you all in the grocery store with your KK mask on. Now, when 10 of the homies whoop on your head, then we're going to have a problem, right? Then all 10 of them going to go to jail, you know, or they're going to get killed. They're probably not even going to make it to jail.
This is the thing. This goes so, Gina, this thing is so huge.
I'm so hurt, Gina. It makes no sense. This is like why you? They literally woke up and said, "We're gonna kill a Negro today."
Yeah.
Your
well,
this is 34 years old.
Well, Gina, this is the thing. I woke up with it today, and you know, right before the show, I could not. You know, I don't want to get political on the show because a lot of people have, you know, guests and stuff. You know, they support different, you know. Things, and I just want to, you know, kind of balance it out and stick to it because that's why I wanted to go into humanity. I think it's inhumane for someone to shoot down somebody because they don't want to talk to you. I just do. I think you have a right to not want to talk to somebody. Like, I don't want to talk to you all the time either. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to talk all the time either. I'm jogging for one. So if I didn't want nothing, I didn't ask you for nothing. Why are you stopping me? Are you broke down? Nothing's wrong. I see you got guns. Are you looking weird? I'm going to just keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to stop to talk to you.
Yeah. And I'm already nervous. You got guns. Who stopped somebody with a gun?
Lord help us, help this nation, help this nation. Well, we got to move on.
These are the end times, people. These are the end times, people. And I'm telling you,
we
got to
keep praying and make your life count. That's all I'm saying. Make your life count. Make your life count because you don't know. Just make your life count. All right, we're going to go on. We got my girl, Elizabeth Brooks. She's got 5 Minute Fitness. Hi, Elizabeth.
How you guys doing?
Girl, we made
it. Hanging in there. I hear you. Listen,
yes.
You know, there's so much going on, and I always feel like, you know, in times like these, we need to, we need a word from the Lord, and you know, because the
Absolutely.
Word is that's where the truth is. And so I was reading through my Bible, and God was just reminding me. In his word, I was looking in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, be not weary.
Oh, me too this morning, Gina. Me this morning,
girl.
Elizabeth.
All right, that's the Holy Spirit. So,
come
you know,
on. Come on, preach
spirit.
It, girl. Let me hear what you're saying.
And so he was saying, you know, be not weary in well doing. I have clients who haven't moved in weeks and are really struggling with being in the house. And what I want to encourage people to do today is don't be weary in well-doing. You know, well-doing is when we're taking care of our bodies. All you have to do is do the best that you can. If you've made a commitment prior to all this taking place that you were going to start moving, or maybe you used to say, wow, if I had more time on my hands, I would start that exercise program. You know, God is admonishing you to keep your word to yourself. And don't be weary in well-doing. If we've committed to, I'm going to take a 2-mile walk every day. I'm going to walk for 5 miles. I'm going to get out there and just stretch my legs. And I'm just going to take care of the body that, you know, I can take care of. You know, there's only so much that we have control over. But we have control over the temple that God has given us. And we can care for that temple the best way we can. If you are, you know, sometimes we're in the house and, you know, we're getting frustrated with children, getting frustrated with, you know, husbands, you know, mom, dad, whoever we're in there with, you know, sometimes you're in there by yourself and you're just getting frustrated with yourself. Get out, get some exercise, move. If it's raining, do some yoga in your house, stretch, get on your knees, pray to the Lord, find ways to move your body. Because every time we move, you know, those endorphins get released. Those are real chemicals that God has put on the inside of us, and they're only activated when we move. And they can really lift, you know, be the lifter of your head, you know, and really encourage you to you know, keep moving on and pressing on to that next hour, that next minute, that next, you know, Zoom for conference call you have for work. Stay encouraged, people. Keep moving. It is, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. And one of the best things that we can do to control our environment is to control what's happening with our physical bodies. And, of course, the healthier we are, the less likely, you know, the stronger our immune system and the less likely it is for us to catch all kinds of viruses and diseases, no matter what they are. So I just wanted to give you guys that word of truth today. You know, Gina, if you've been reading it too, be not weary in well doing, then, you know, the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage us. Don't be weary in well doing. If you start your exercise program, keep it going, keep it moving, maintain the commitments that you've made to yourself.
Yep. I get you. All right. Well, I appreciate you, girl. Thank you so much. Tell everybody where they can follow you.
I appreciate you too. And, you know, I'm doing Zoom workouts every Monday at 7 a.m. And if anybody's interested in that, or if you just want to send me an email, you want some suggestions of new things that you can do in the house to keep yourself moving, ebrooks at thinkingcorrectly.com, or just go to the website thinkingcorrectly.com, click on that register for a class button, and I'll see you soon. Please take care of yourselves, everybody, and God bless you.
You too. And you know what? This is a sad show today, but you know what? We love you, Elizabeth. It's just, you know, the energy today. It's just, I just think it's just because of that news and, you know, and just everything else that's going on. But you know what? Like you said, you know, I know that God is moving because you read the same chapter today that I read, the same verses. So I know, because I was like, okay, what does this mean? But he always, you know, it's for a reason. So I'm just so thankful that I was able to read that today and share that moment with you and know that God is still in control and has the final say. So you know what? No matter what's going on, God is in control.
That's right. And just,
that's the end of the day.
That's right. And just we maintain our faith in the Lord.
That's it. All day, every day, no matter what. You know, so anyway, God bless you. I miss you so much.
God bless you guys. Take care of yourselves. I love you.
Until next time, stay connected to her, you guys. Love you. All right. We're going to take a commercial break, Gina G, and then we got Evangelist Daniels with us right now. He's got a brand new book. We'll be right back after these messages. The Keys Against the Enemy is a 90-day spiritual devotional boot camp. The keys is authority. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus tells Peter that he's given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever he loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the keys actually is power and authority, the heavens that God has given us, that we could do the same thing. The Keys Against the Enemy is literally the maturity through the years that God has really developed me into a prayer warrior. I want you to feel empowered. I just want you to know that you are a warrior, that you are an overcomer, a victor. I want you to know that you have all authority against the enemy and all of his wiles and all of his tactics. You can go on thekeysagainsttheenemy.com. So many things is going on with the Keys Against the Enemy. Go purchase your book and find out whatever's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy.
Let love drive your leadership. God does. In his new book, Love Leads, Dr. Steve Green teaches you how to love as a leader. Love Leads is now available on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. Get your copy today to make the difference you've been praying for.
Hi, how are you doing? You're a legend.
Thank you.
You're a legend. And I'd love you to be able to do a radio drop for Dr. Gina and then say, and now you're listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat. You ready? You ready, Freddie?
Hi, this is Freddie Jackson, and you're listening to Dr. Gina on Radio Chat.
Darn close, it's Dr. Gina's, with an S, Radio Chat. Can we do it one more time?
Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Right?
Gotcha, let's do it.
Let's do it. We're going to do it now.
Hi, this is Freddie Jackson, and you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Let's do it again. Maybe you can sing a little bit while you're doing it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Starting now.
This is Freddie Jackson, and you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. And remember, you are my lady. You're listening.
Freddie Jackson, I forgot
oh
he
my
did
God.
That.
Doug was happy about that one.
I forgot about that one. All right, that cheered me up. Okay, Evangelist Daniel, Colinda, how are you? Welcome to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
I'm good, Dr. Gina. Thank you very much.
I'm so glad to have you. Listen, you got a brand new book, and you're part of the Charisma family. So am I. So we are siblings with Charisma.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yes, Slaying Dragons is your brand new book. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a book on spiritual warfare. And, of course, I wrote this before we were in this whole situation that the world finds itself in right now. But interestingly, many of the things that I wrote about in that book could not be more important and applicable than they are at this very moment. I believe that there is a sense in which the church is very unprepared for a lot of the spiritual battles that come its way. And I've realized that a long time ago, people kind of relegated the spiritual, the invisible, the supernatural to, Harry Potter science fiction type novels. And the reality is that the Bible tells us that this is the world that we live in. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And the Apostle Paul said that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices, lest he should have an advantage over us. So if we don't understand how the spiritual world operates, we end up having a tactical disadvantage in our struggle against these powers of darkness. So I really wanted to write a book that was very different from a lot of the other books that I've read out there. It wasn't just full of good stories, which I have a few of those in there as well, but it's solid theologically, and it's very important practically. I teach in there how to overcome, how to win these battles with the enemy, primarily the battle within every one of us, because what we all learn, you haven't been a Christian too long before you discover that the primary battle is not the one out in the world, it's the one between the ears. And once we've learned how to conquer the battlefield of the mind, then we start having victory in our daily lives almost effortlessly. So I try to address the whole gamut of spiritual warfare, from the internal, the mental, all the way up to how to cast out demons, how to minister deliverance to other people, as I've had to do many times, even on crusade platforms all over the world. And I believe it's going to equip everyday believers to be victorious against the enemy in their lives.
I love that. Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times, well, I know I spoke earlier in my ministerial moment about how there's so much division in ministry that people don't believe in the move of the Holy Spirit. Some people don't believe in speaking in tongues. Some people don't believe in casting out demons, you know, things like that. But it clearly states in the Bible that we're to exemplify Christ, and he did all of that. So, I mean, he even said that greater works we will do than he did, you know, because he's leaving us a comforter and a teacher and just through the Holy Spirit. And what is your take on that? I know you're about to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think that any Christian is justified in having a worldview that excludes these supernatural powers. I mean, it's one thing if you don't believe in the supernatural, if you are an atheist or an agnostic or a deist. But if you claim to believe in the Bible and your worldview is framed by the Bible, then once again, the worldview that the Bible gives us is one in which our primary struggle, as I just quoted earlier, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And actually, we don't have a choice whether or not we're going to engage in this war. The only choice we have is, are we going to do so with wisdom? Are we going to do so with intelligence? Are we going to be informed? Or are we going to be like those that were warned in the scripture, that where it says that my people perish for lack of knowledge? We really don't have a choice whether we're going to fight the battle. Just, are we going to win?
Let me ask you a question, because you speak kingdom language, and I love it. I knew when you came on the show that we were spiritually going to be connected, and I love that. My background is apostolic, you know, deliverance, pretty much, deliverance ministry. And, you know, I had to learn the balance between really not being in war all the time, you know, where you're casting out a demon and, you know, not moving by the Holy Spirit, but you just like, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you just take your own and just go and say, you're sick, I cast it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're struggling with mental, I cast that out in Jesus' name. You know, you learn all the demon, all the names of the demons, and, you know, the Apollyon and Leviathan, and you learn all of these things, and you don't know anything about love and God's love and, you know, the grace, and it's just a balance with it all. But my question with you with that, bringing that up, I have two questions for you. One, and you can answer this one first, if you don't mind, is, you know, not getting political. You know, I don't want to do that. I just want to keep it on the basis of when we're kingdom and we're in the world, but not of the world, but we see everything that's going on, but we know what the Bible wants. Okay, I'm trying to see. We know what the Bible says, right? And we know what side we're supposed to stand on. But yet we find ourselves getting intertwined with this whole world system somehow, because we're saying that we're doing it for the sake of the kingdom. Is that, how do you balance some, how do you balance that? What is your thoughts on balancing that act? You know, where you're in the world, but not of the world, but you feel like as a church you're supposed to do something. But then you find yourself, when you do something, you kind of intertwining with the situation, because you know ultimately God is in control or who gets in office and all of these things. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, how do you keep that balanced? What is your, how to tell us, please?
I think it's the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. You know, a thermometer reflects the temperature around it in a room. A thermostat changes the temperature. And I think our calling, you know, when you're talking about kingdom, our calling is, like you said, be in the world but not of the world. It's not just that we're in the world but not of the world. We are in the world not just to be influenced by the temperature and the environment. We are here to make a difference and to make a change. And so I think that's where the calling of the Christian is, and where the kingdom comes in. And we have to remember that our identities, I think this is so important, just making it very practical, our identities should be first as Christians. And I've noticed that the enemy is really after this in our time, in our generation. People, right now, it's very popular to identify as certain things. And even, you know, you're talking about politically, people even identify as non-human things and different genders that don't even exist. Identity has been attacked in a very serious way in our time. And I think there's a reason for that. I think the enemy knows that if our identity is in Christ, and if we're able to understand our identity, then we actually are able to take our place. And a lot of Christians, you know, have gotten tied up in all kinds of political and different struggles that are outside of that identity in Christ. I tell you, before I'm an American, before I am a Floridian, before I'm white, before I'm male, before I'm straight, I'm a Christian. That is where
Christian.
I find my purpose, my identity. And because of that, that means we all have something to unite around. And I believe that's a message for our time.
I love that. I'm in agreement with that. And also, I would advise everybody to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it talks about how the Spirit gives you gifts. I think if we focus on what our position is in the kingdom, we will be more effective on this earth. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Without getting caught up in like a clique or a gang or, you know, something like that, to believe that you're somebody. I believe the first is knowing who you are, like you said, in the kingdom, and allow Holy Spirit to release to you the gifts that's going to make a difference with you, that's going to make a difference in your atmosphere on this earth. You know, and so you will be a vessel pleasing unto the Lord, even the more, because he loves you regardless. Yes. But let me ask you this and Gene, I know you got a question for Evangelist Daniel. I love him already. I love him. I love him. I love him.
I love you too.
You got to come on more. Okay, so listen, my last question, Gina, you can take it away. I want to ask you, for someone that is just, you know, this is a shutdown. God is in the midst of all of this. You know what I'm saying? He's in control of all this. He can lift this thing up if he wants. He can do whatever. Okay, so we know that God is in control. We're in this shutdown. God, the world has been shut down. And now God has got you in this incubator, this cave, this quarantine. What you going to do with it? What advice can you tell the people that just don't know? They know God wants them to do something, but as soon as they give an hour, then the devil comes and distracts them. They don't know how to do warfare. They just feel like this is just the way it is. You know, maybe it's their spouse that, you know, seduced them out of position, or maybe it's their children, or maybe it's a television show, or maybe it's just force of habit. Maybe it's some disappointing news or something like that. But they start off good. They're reading the Bible, they're worshiping, and then bam, they just get sidetracked. What kind of advice would you tell them as far as how to warfare against that, and to recognize that that is warfare against their spiritual walk?
Well, I think there's actually a few different questions in there. I'll try to answer it in a way that was personally relevant to me. When this whole thing happened, one of the passages that came to my heart was from the book of Hosea. And of course, you know, Hosea is the Old Testament. Hosea is prophecy to Israel. They've been in a season of rebellion against God. They've been sinning. They've been chasing after foreign gods and intermingling with these heathen nations. And so the Lord sends judgment upon them. And it's a wilderness season. It's a difficult season, probably similar in some ways to what we're feeling right now. You know, the whole world seems to be feeling the pressure. And the Lord speaks through the prophet Hosea and says to Israel, I will allure her and I will draw her into the wilderness and I will speak comfortably to her. And and what I felt from that, what I saw in that, was the Lord is actually drawing Israel away from a season where there's so much noise, where there's so much chaos, where there's so much confusion, so many things vying for her attention. And she draws her out into the wilderness. And she may think that it's to punish her. But actually, the Lord says, I'm drawing you out here in this dry, lonely wilderness season so that I can speak to you comfortably. I can speak to you in a way where I won't have to compete with all of these other voices. I won't have to shout so loud anymore. I want to be able to nurture you. I want to be able to talk to you lovingly and comfortably. And I feel like this is happening to us. Now, I'm not saying that God sent this. I actually believe this is of the devil, and I want it to be over, probably like most people. But in the midst of trial, in the midst of difficulties, we have a choice of how we are going to respond to that. And I think there's two ways we can respond to this season right now. One way is that we can say, well, we're bored. Let's fill every minute with senseless entertainment. Let's just create some noise. Since so much outside noise has been silenced, let's make our own noise. Let's scroll Facebook endlessly. Let's watch Netflix, you know, nonstop. Or we can say, this is an opportunity that I have for a season when it's so quiet and it's so easy to draw away, where I can allow the Lord to speak comfortably to me. I can take time and I can seek his face and I can pray. I believe that if we will choose the latter tack, if we will decide to use this opportunity to draw close to the Lord, I honestly believe that it could be a situation where at the end of this shutdown, when everything starts again, people will actually be sad that it's over, because the experience and the
experience that they had with God. I know. Yes. That's what I, oh my God. Gina, did you have anything you wanted to ask Evangelist Daniel? Gina G?
I am here. I am so sorry. I don't know what happened. See, the devil is busy.
He's not happy.
He's not happy. You know what? I just wanted to say in this time, first of all, thank you, because those were encouraging words that you gave. And in this time, people are trying to be entertained. And, you know, I'm a comedian, so the first thing I thought was, oh, I gotta get online. I gotta stay relevant. I gotta keep posting and keep doing stuff. And God spoke to me and he said, no, you don't. That is not what this time is for. And it amazes me, because my husband decided 10 days ago to quit smoking cigarettes. He hasn't had a cigarette in 10 days. And he questioned yesterday. He's like, I can't believe I chose now, of course, of all times, to stop smoking cigarettes. I'm in the house. I don't know what to do. I'm going crazy. And I told him, of course, the mood swings are crazy, but I just stay heavy in prayer. But I told him, I said, when this is all over and you can step outside and breathe,
you are going to be so thankful. So the God gave you this time to do it because he knew that you would, and you wouldn't have no excuse to, you know,
I love
not
it. I love
so
it.
So I'm thankful
tell
for
everybody
your advice, and I will definitely pass it on to him.
Evangelist Daniel, please tell everybody before we have to go where they can follow you.
Well, I'm, of course, on social media. Just look for Daniel Kalenda. Our website is cfan.org. And the book, Slaying Dragons, can be purchased anywhere that you find books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere.
I love it. Until next time, you guys, live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. We're loving you. Until next time, yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so
Dr.
much,
Daniel.
Live
healthy, live whole, living in destiny.